One of my favorite ways to spice up a trip to Spain is an easy one-hour ferry ride across the Strait of Gibraltar to Morocco. Joining us for a personal look at his home country is Tangier-based tour guide Aziz Begduri. Aziz holds master's degrees in European Union law and Islamic law from his studies in Spain and Morocco. He's also helped me and other travel presenters with filming logistics in Morocco. He's with us right now to help us explore the best of Morocco and to take your calls at 877-333-7425. Aziz, thanks for joining us today on Travel with Rick Steves.
You're welcome.
And I hope you're enjoying your trip to the United States.
I'm loving it so much.
Have you been to the United States before?
I have been six times.
Six times.
This is my sixth trip, so it's a... shows you how much I love the United States.
Well, I think Moroccans love the United States. That's nothing new in history, is it?
Exactly. The connection goes back to 1776. The Sultan of Morocco at that time recognized the independence of the United States. And then he gave to U.S. a building in Tangiers to establish the first American embassy.
I believe Morocco was the first country to recognize the United States as an independent nation.
Yes. Correct.
Well, here's to Morocco.
Yeah.
Now, if we want to visit Morocco today, to me, there's three zones in Morocco. You've got sort of the Mediterranean kind of north-looking zone.
Yeah.
You've got the mountain range, the Atlas Mountains, that separate the Mediterranean part of Morocco from the Sahara Desert part of Morocco. And then you've got dramatic resorts on the Atlantic coastline. Can you give us a big picture of Morocco from a tourism point of view with that in mind?
Morocco is a beautiful country on terms for tourism. So Morocco is a country that has two coastlines, as he says, the Med and the Atlantic. So the north is all the Mediterranean, and it's fantastic for their beautiful beaches there. And so far, Moroccan government, because started to rely on tourism, so starting to do resorts.
So a lot of Europeans are coming down to Morocco then?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's the Mediterranean beaches.
And then we have the Atlantic coast, which is a long coastline.
And that seems a little more exotic and almost like the tropical seas or something
exactly.
like this. Different than Mediterranean.
Completely different.
What is the best place to go on the Atlantic coast of Morocco and why?
One of the places is Sawira.
Sawira.
It's a nice city, which is 100% Moroccan and has beautiful beaches and south of Sawira, it's a beautiful place for surfing. It's become one of the most famous places in Morocco and worldwide known. Surfers come from Australia, New Zealand, from Europe.
Now, Morocco has imperial cities. Isn't that what you call your big cities?
Imperial cities.
What are the imperial cities?
Imperial cities is Fez, Meknes, Marrakesh, and Rabat.
Okay. And why are they called the imperial cities?
They're called imperial cities because a certain part in the history were capitals of a certain dynasty.
Okay, so these were different capitals.
Different capitals.
Fez was the capital?
Yes, Fez was the capital of the Idrisi dynasty. Fez is one of the most amazing cities in Morocco. It's dated back to the 8th and 9th century.
8th and 9th, so more than 1,000 years old is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. It's considered the most spiritual, and the Medina Fez is the biggest Medina in the Arab world and the Muslim world.
Tell me what you mean by a Medina. Because
Medina
this is a big part of traveling in Morocco.
Yeah, the Medinas is old cities.
Okay.
The old city, and it's most of the time has a fortification.
So generally the walled city
The
tangled street plan and the little lanes.
Mm-hmm.
My experience is every major city has two parts, the modern French colonial city and then the old Arabic
city.
Walled city.
Mm-hmm.
And the romantic place to go is in the Medina.
The Medina, yeah.
But your hotel and your bus station and all of the modern businesses would be a short walk away in the modern French colonial city.
That's correct. But nowadays, there's a lot of places now, it's called riads or guest homes, which is very in fashion today, where travelers come and stay and experience a real enjoyable...
A riad.
A riad, yeah.
How do you spell riad?
R-I-A-D.
R-I-A-D.
So, yeah. It's an Arab home with a courtyard.
In a city or in the countryside?
No, in the old city.
Okay.
In the old city. You walk by a narrow alley, and the only thing you see of that house is a little door. When you enter it, it's magical. You enter, you find a courtyard, fountain in the middle, olive tree or orange tree,
So you can, you're like a nobleman in the Middle Ages.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Because they would have a sort of a fortified exterior, no mm-hmm. windows, just one little
door. Well, that's a part of the charm of the Arab culture. It's very simple from outside, but all the beauty is the inside. So from outside, you can know the limits of that house. You can never tell how nice. You will see it's very deceiving. It's very deceiving. You see it's and very mysterious from outside.
So people keep their wealth and their luxury a little bit
exactly,
private.
Exactly. Because in those old cities, all different class of people, rich, yeah. poor, middle class. So in order not to hurt feelings of the neighbors.
Or you don't want to show off your wealth because exactly. it's more likely to be targeted by some bandits when they come into town. So as travelers, we can stay in a Riyadh, R-I-A-D,
yeah.
in a great city. So Fez was the most important sort of religious capital?
It is a religious capital and still considered today religious capital of Morocco because it goes back to the Moulay Idris II, the founder of the city of Fez. His tomb, he's buried there. It's one of the biggest mausoleums which is visited by the Moroccan people when they go to Fez. It's a pilgrimage for them. And also the tourists, they stop and take pictures of that mausoleum.
Beautiful tiles when you go to these cities.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Tell me about the tiles.
The tiles is a mosaic.
Uh-huh.
They have in Fez, just outside, a lot of factories where they still work them clay just by their hands and feet, and then they put them in 1,000-degree heat ovens, wood ovens, and then they bake them and then take them out, glaze them, put them back to the oven, and then start working on them on the mosaic.
And they have a personality. They're kind of rough.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one of the artists told me, we make it not quite perfect because only God is perfect.
That's correct. That's correct. That's absolutely.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Aziz Begdouri. We're talking about Morocco. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. Margot's on the line in Astoria, Oregon. Margot, thanks for your call.
Well, thanks. I'm really excited to talk with you. I'm a healthy 68-year-old woman, and I enjoy traveling with others, but I often travel by myself, and I have never been to Morocco, but I've always been fascinated by it and its literary and cultural history. But I'm wondering if a woman can safely travel in Morocco, and if so, where should she or should she not travel, and where could she stay?
So a woman alone traveling in Morocco. You're a guide. You've had many women. And have they been on their own? And
yeah, I had a lot of women
by
their
own. What are the dangers?
Own.
What are their concerns for them?
The only concern that they should dress properly. I mean, long pants and long sleeves.
Why would they do that?
They're in a Muslim country, and they have to be dressed respectfully. And this way, also, they don't take attention from... You know.
I see. So you don't want to look like Madonna walking down the street.
Of course.
Or Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga, bad style.
No.
Okay, Margot, no Lady Gaga stuff.
No, not for me.
How about
staying at various hotels and things? Should one always plan ahead in terms of visiting Morocco and other Muslim countries and book lodging far in advance that one knows is safe and secure?
It's better to book in advance. Otherwise, hotels, there is a lot. But to choose the appropriate places to stay, so it's better to do searches in advance and you know where you're staying. Otherwise, you can always go and depend on there's a big series or different classes of hotels.
It sounds, Margot, like you're thinking of Morocco as a little more dangerous than Europe for a woman.
Perhaps I am. I've also been to certain parts of Southwest Asia. And found, to my surprise and delight, that it was actually much safer there than I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
So I just didn't know about Morocco, given that it's a Muslim country and women may be under, as you suggest, you know, special conditions for women's dress. And I wonder, like, as far as traveling throughout the country, if there are parts that are safer than others.
As I say, she doesn't have to wear a headscarf or anything. So,
that's an interesting point.
Mm-hmm.
If an American woman is surrounded by local women wearing headscarves,
mm-hmm.
is it okay for the American woman to wear a headscarf also?
It is okay.
Or is it better not to?
Both is...
Either you like.
Because yeah, either. Because in Morocco, we have... When you go, you will be surprised seeing there's about 8 different styles.
Yeah,
types.
You know, this is one thing, Margot, that you really need to recognize. In the modern Muslim world, you'll find different women, local women, have a different style. Or,
yeah.
Or some of them are
way
are,
of as, dressing.
They look like they're right out of Paris.
Yeah,
and other
exactly.
ones look like they're
exactly.
visiting from the mountain tribes.
Exactly. That's why it says that for American, you dress the same your clothes. You don't have to buy nothing special, but just long pants and long sleeves.
One thing mm-hmm. I found is you'll want to spend enough money, I would think, as a woman traveling alone, to have a safe refuge in a See. Hotel that keeps out the riffraff. Mm-hmm. If you're staying in a cheap hotel in the old city, then you've got all sorts of people
exactly.
that you might feel uncomfortable with hanging
yeah.
out in the lobby.
Yeah.
But when you stay in a Western class hotel in the colonial section of town, then they recognize that you need a little bit of a refuge, and you can go into your hotel and catch your breath and mm-hmm. and read the yeah. Herald Tribune and just kind of get a break from the intensity of the streets.
Yes, very nicely.
It sounds wonderful. It really does. I'd really like to go, and I, I think you've allayed some of my concerns.
Thanks, Margo, for your call, and have a good time on your visit.
Thanks so much.
Nancy's on the phone in Venice, Florida. Nancy, thanks for your call.
Yes, hi. My adult daughter and I enjoy traveling, and we're very interested in going to Morocco. We also are interested in cooking, so we're wondering about some place we could visit where we could get cooking lessons. My daughter's a vegetarian, so she's especially interested in all the marvelous ways of fixing vegetables.
Hmm. Yeah, cooking classes, that's a very good topic. One of those Riyadh's guest places, there's a lot of them, they offer classes.
Ah, that's good.
Even they take people to accompany them to the market and they buy fresh fruit, vegetables, fresh chicken or lamb
yes.
or fish and bring them and with spices and olives and everything and cook it. And
so
give them classes.
You could go to the market and you could shop and then you could take it home and you can cook it and then you can eat it together.
Yeah.
What a great
experience.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And for your daughter, she is a vegetarian. Morocco has the most amazing vegetables because Morocco is a very farming country. We have all type of vegetables and most of it is grown organic.
Nancy, you are in for one treat when you go to Morocco and take the eating as part of the sightseeing and cultural
Absolutely.
Experience.
That sounds wonderful.
Thank you for your call.
Delightful.
Happy
you.
Travels. Aziz Begdouri is taking us deep into Morocco right now on Travel with Rick Steves. You can join us for a sunset view in Tangier with Aziz over a cup of mint tea in an extra feature to this week's show. You'll find that in this week's radio show details on our website at ricksteves.com. Our phone number is 877-333-RICK, and by email, it's radio@ricksteves.com. Michael's on the phone in Juneau, Alaska. Michael, thanks for your call.
Salam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
All right. Or bonjour. 10 years ago, on 4 weeks of independent travel with a female friend, we discovered Asila.
Asila, yeah.
And spent 1 week there, and it was enchanting. Mm-hmm. So my question is Asila still a place where maybe, unless they listen to Rick Steves, they wouldn't find it, the Western people? Is it still untouched?
Asila today, there's a...
More tourists,
because we take people there.
Yes, yes.
Michael, describe Asila. Just describe where it is and what it is.
It's a predominantly Moroccan beachfront holiday town about an hour and a half south of Tangiers by rail or car. Mm-hmm. And it has a souk that's remarkable because it sits in the part of town surrounded by the Portuguese fortifications from the 17th century.
Correct, yeah.
Wow. And now this is on the Atlantic coast.
Atlantic coast. It was just a delightful place.
Yeah.
It does have a weekly marketplace.
Thursdays.
Just another thought of Tangiers versus Ceuta from Spain, I would vote for Ceuta any time, although Tangiers has its colors. Ceuta is a little less drastic introduction without so many people hitting on you.
Okay, so in other words, there's two ways to take the ferry over to Morocco. You can go to the Spanish protectorate of Ceuta, or you can go to the Moroccan city of Tangier. Did you go down with a car or just walk off the ferry?
Walked off the ferry.
What's Aziz's take on that? I know what you're talking about because it's intense to go to Morocco although I think Tangier's become a little better organized lately.
Yeah, Ceuta, it's in Africa and Moroccan territory, but still under Spanish control. So if you're in Ceuta, you are not.
You're not really in Morocco yet. Right? But when you step off the boat in Tangier, hello, Morocco.
You are in Morocco.
I love
that. You're in the real Morocco.
Man, when I walk up, that ferry opens up, and I'm right in there with the backpackers and the cars. And in 100 yards, I've got all these hustlers around me trying to get me to be their guide.
Yeah, one other thought on independent travel around Morocco. Two-thirds of my travel was by train.
Mm-hmm.
The balance by bus included going down to the desert. We went to both of the desert front towns, but taking a bus down there is well worthwhile to either of them, and that's where I definitely would vote for getting a guide mm-hmm. to take you for one or several nights into the desert.
Now, would that be from Tinihir, or where is it at, or Ereshkigal?
Erfurt.
Well, from Marrakesh, for example. Marrakesh okay. is a good central point.
So from Marrakesh, it goes first to Ouarzazate, and then from Ouarzazate, you can head to Zagora.
Yeah, Zagora. Zagora,
yeah.
From there, you can take a little excursion
once you get
into the desert.
Desert, Zagora, then from there
Risani.
To the Mahamit.
You get to a place where the next stop really is Timbuktu. Right?
Yeah. And the sign is there saying next stop Timbuktu.
Yeah.
Amazing. Now that's a very important dimension of Morocco that I think a lot of people miss.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael, you're advising get a guide to help you out with this. You can get it from Marrakesh and go over the Atlas Mountains, or you can take the bus down to where it's at and get a guide there.
Zagora, yeah.
That's mm-hmm. great. Michael, thanks for your call.
You bet.
And talking with Aziz and travelers like Michael, it honestly makes me want to get back to Morocco. What a wonderful place. And especially if you don't have a lot of money, because uh-huh. Morocco is friendly.
Yeah.
It's kind of odd because English comes in fourth place in a lot of cases.
Mm-hmm.
You got Arabic, you got Spanish, and you got French. Because the French colonial influence.
Absolutely.
And then you got your English. But you'll still find a lot of people in tourism and young people do speak English.
English, yeah.
And then, of course, we've got beautiful food, wonderful mm-hmm. riads to stay in,
yeah.
beautiful medieval fortified cities to explore.
Mm-hmm.
Every town's got a colorful souk and marketplace. I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been joined by Aziz Begdouri talking about Morocco. Aziz, it's early in the morning. The sun is shining red on mud brick fortresses. We're in Marrakesh at the main square, the market square there. It's coming to life. The Berber tribes, people are arriving. What should we be sure to experience to make that visit really a good memory?
Mm-hmm. So we go through the Medina to walk through the souks. It's a nice atmosphere to see the locals, the visitors, everyone. Because the Arab markets, to walk through the markets is, you feel like you are real Morocco.
You smell it, you hear it,
yeah.
you feel it, you
yeah.
taste it.
All the artists love it. And designers in Marrakesh, a lot of designers have homes. Because this different colors, different smells make them inspired.
And Aziz, when I stand on top of the fort and I look out over the Medina and I see the countryside and the busy marketplace activity below me, and I want to say, this is very beautiful. What do I say?
Or you can say, Masha'Allah.
Masha'Allah. What is that?
Masha'Allah.
What a blessing from God.
A blessing from God. Masha'Allah.
Shukran.
Shukran.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced at Europe Through the Back Door in Edmonds, Washington by Tim Tatton with Sarah McCormick and Isaac Kaplan-Woolner. You can listen again on demand, browse our archives, and find guest information in the details for each week's show. It's all in the radio section of ricksteves.com. We'll see you again next week with more Travel with Rick Steves.
Travel with Rick Steves is made possible in part by the European Union delegation to the USA. The European Union received the 2012 Nobel Peace Prize for promoting peace, human rights, and democracy. Information available at euintheus.org.